My guest at this time is Weld County, Colorado Sheriff John Cook. He and dozens of other county sheriffs in the Centennial State, the vast majority of them, in fact, have basically announced that they will not be enforcing major provisions of new gun control laws passed last year by the Colorado legislature, saying that they can't enforce them because they are unenforceable. The sheriffs also filed a federal lawsuit arguing that they don't have to enforce them, and that case heads to federal court next week. And Sheriff Cook, thank you very much for your time.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
What's unenforceable about them? Which specific provisions are the most vague to you?
The way the entire law is written is unenforceable, and what they've done is, on both these laws, they've turned law-abiding citizens into criminals. And basically what the law says is that any magazine, because they banned magazines that hold more than 15 rounds, and what they have said is that any magazine that can be readily converted to hold more than 15 rounds is illegal. Well, that's 99.999% of all magazines, that because they have a base plate and they have a spring that you can remove to repair or clean. And if you can do that, then that magazine is illegal to possess after January 1st, and you can't buy any. And so, it's like, how do we enforce that? And there's a grandfather clause in the law that says if you own a magazine before July 1st of 2013 that's more than 15 rounds, you're allowed to keep it. But you can't buy one after July 1st. Well, how are my deputies going to know if somebody bought that magazine before or after July 1st? And so we're not putting any resources or any into enforcing it or making it a priority.
In terms of some of these provisions, like you mentioned, the way that magazines could be reconfigured to hold more than 15, do you think lawmakers are actually looking to ban magazines 99.9% of the time, or they just don't really understand how these things work?
They don't understand how it works because the legislator that introduced this bill, she didn't ask, she didn't come to the sheriffs and say, explain to me what a magazine is, because she didn't even know. And then after the bill gets passed, she was confronted on how a magazine could be converted. And she says, oh, well, people just have to live with it. I'm sure you've heard of Diana DeGette from Washington, or she's from Denver, a congresswoman from Denver, obviously in D.C. A debate that we had here last year, she was talking about how these 30-round magazines, once they're done, once people are done shooting, they're no good anymore because you just throw them away. She has no clue about what a gun is or a magazine is, and yet she's trying to outlaw them federally.
And so based on this letter that's gone out, it sounds like most sheriffs in the state are joining you in this and basically concluding there's no way to enforce this.
Right, absolutely. And like I said earlier, they basically are turning law-abiding citizens into criminals, and most law enforcement agencies in this state don't really understand how to enforce this, and the people don't know how to comply with this. So we actually filed a lawsuit. 55 out of the 62 elected sheriffs filed a lawsuit in federal district court, which starts Monday, the trial, against these laws, because we're saying it violates people's due process, because if somebody doesn't know that they're violating the law, how can they be held accountable? And that's a violation of due process.
If you were to lose this case and you were forced to enforce it, how would you do it?
Well, that's the thing. No one can really enforce me. Even the federal courts can't enforce me, make me enforce the laws. And so if we lose and the judge says, no, these laws are constitutional, I still set the priorities and the resources for my agency. And so there's no law in the state of Colorado that says I have to enforce a law. And so I still won't enforce them because, in my belief, in my opinion, it's not my job to turn law-abiding gun owners into criminals.
Based on what you know about this court, this judge, what kind of odds do you give your case at the federal level here?
You know, that's a good question. She's a no-nonsense, kind of hard-nosed judge, and I've seen her go after both sides, both sides' attorneys. But our attorney seems pretty optimistic, so I'll have to go with that. I'm hoping he knows.
Obviously, Colorado has had its share of shooting tragedies, from Columbine to the Aurora theater shooting. But given the public's reaction to the way that politicians voted on this and the way that the vast majority of sheriffs are reacting, it seems like most people in the state, or at least a good percentage of the people, think there's a better way to stop these tragedies from happening. What's your approach to that?
Well, absolutely. They're addressing the wrong issue because it's the gun that's being used. But that's an inanimate object. The problem is not the gun, it's the hearts of men. And that's where the issue is. And we need to address mental health issues to keep the guns out of, a person who needs help out of their hand and prevent them from going and do the mass shootings. It's not the gun, it's the person.
And is that a government role, in your opinion, or is that something that needs to be just done in the private sector and through the medical community and that sort of thing?
Well, it has to be kind of a combination of both on the mental health issue. But again, I'm not an expert in that area, and it's kind of a slippery slope. So we have to work with them. We have to figure it out. We have to sit down at the table and with the mental health folks and say, how do we do this? What's the best approach so that we're not violating people's rights just because they might be depressed and on antidepressants? That doesn't mean they're going to go out and kill, you know, a lot of people at a movie theater. So we have to sit down at the table with the mental health professionals and say, let's work together and see how we can prevent people from getting guns that shouldn't have them.
Strong supporters of the Second Amendment, of course, would, I think, agree with your position. There may be some out there, and a lot of folks who are more on the gun control side of the debate make the argument that only people like you should have weapons, and certainly the more powerful weapons. You're obviously making a very different argument. Explain why you believe an armed populace, a responsibly armed populace, is actually an asset to you.
One, I've always said that an armed society is a polite society. And if you ask a majority of the cops on the street, they'll tell you the way to reduce the number of victims of these mass shootings is to have a well-armed public and that can shoot back and kill these people and neutralize them before they kill too many. And so, you know, in Colorado, as in most of the western states, and I assume even out east, we have what we call the posse comitatus, where the sheriff can deputize as many people as he wants. So it's kind of like the old western movies, where the sheriff stands on the soapbox and after a bank robbery and rounds up the posse and they go out after the guys. I have that same authority. And we had a lot of floods this year and fires, and the sheriffs here say, hey, we need an armed populace to help guard, you know, their communities and their families and their neighbors. So they could be a benefit to us to stop any looting and to stop any riots, that type of thing.
Well, we'll certainly be tracking the case, Sheriff. Very good of you to spend a few minutes with us. Thank you for your time.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Weld County, Colorado Sheriff John Cook. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WND.com.